The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm really proud of the effort. I'm really proud of the maturity, all right, that we showed, okay? Because, again, there were some things that weren't going our way. All right, we handled them with class. We handled them with dignity. And, fellas, you persevered, so we won in the fourth quarter.
Yes, sir.
All right, and we won in the fourth quarter.
We waited a long time to get this season started. All right, you never know what's going to happen until that game starts, guys. Everybody had a part in this, man. D, O, special teams. Appreciate all you guys.
I do not lie to you. Do I ever lie? I don't lie to you. You know how I felt about this game, okay? And you know how I feel about this team. That is a great start. But we're not about just the start, as you know. We're about that finish.
It's not always going to be exactly how we want it to go, okay? Sometimes we're going to have to dig down deep. You with me? And that's exactly what we did, okay? We dug down deep, and we made the plays that we had to make to win the game. That was outstanding.
One word describes this game.
Yeah! Let's go!
Oh, yeah, one word describes this morning for Chris. It's funny. Okay, so we're here. It's PFT Live. I'm so excited. For the first time since 2020.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We're together on Monday morning, and for the first time since 2019, we're together in here in studio on Monday morning. It's PFT Live, Peacock, Sirius XM85, not live on Sky Sports.
Damn, we got booted off already?
The over-under was 4.5, and if you pick the under, go cash your ticket. We're already
Get thrown off because of swearing, or did they just figure they wanted to change it?
I still think what happens is they do it until somebody from the league office notices that their show isn't live.
Right.
And somebody calls Sky and squeezes them by a certain body part that is very painful if you squeeze it. And then they say, you got to put our show
back
on.
They
want our show.
Especially so not for this guy who likes to give us hard problems at 345 Park Avenue.
We're just happy that once a year they try. So we appreciate you, Sky. It's an annual effort. When football season starts, they recognize it's different shows and it's different tastes. But the folks in the UK prefer our show.
Yeah.
The other show is Two USA for the UK. That's how it's been explained to me.
Right.
They like us because we call it like we see it. We're not shaking pom-poms. We're not doing goofy bits.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
You want to do goofy bits, that's fine.
Right.
We're just here to talk about football, have some fun, drop the occasional S-bomb, every once in a while an F-bomb, every once in a while... Big turd cock. So
we hit it
maybe that's what did it. I don't know. But it'll be on in its usual time of, I believe, 6 o'clock.
Yep.
Whatever. We decided at one point what that time zone is.
Right.
Whatever time it is in the UK. So, but regardless.
So, yeah, go on with the rest of your story. You got sidetracked here.
What was the rest of my story?
I don't know. You were like, I was excited to be here with you. And then you went down another wormhole.
I'm just I'm in a good mood today. And I'm rarely in a good mood. So when I'm in a good mood, I milk the shit out of it. Because it's been such a long week, and I'm not complaining. First world problems, but we've been in Kansas City, and I had to go to Atlanta to get to Kansas City, and then we're in Kansas City, and we're Wednesday, Thursday, nonstop, all day. And then Friday, I travel all day just to get home for 17 hours, and then I leave at noon. And I get to the airport, and I can't get to LaGuardia. So I went home from the airport 100 miles from my house on Saturday night. And I had a bonus 10 hours at home. And I got up at 4:30 yesterday, and I came here. And it was a roller coaster all day long. And we're on the other side of it. And it's like, I feel good. We're on the other side of it. I feel like Andy Dufresne, after going through 500 yards of the foulest smelling. Not that it was bad. I enjoyed it. But I'm out of the pipe.
I hear you.
I'm out of the pipe. We got a full weekend of football that we get to talk about. And I come in here, and I'm happy. And I'm walking
happy
down the hallway.
He's singing down the hallway.
I'm singing a Springsteen song that just popped into my head down the hallway. I mean, if he's taking the rest of the month off, somebody's got to sing his songs. We wish Bruce all the best, too. He's got a peptic ulcer that he's dealing with. And then I come in, and Mr. Grumpy Pants here is like, are you singing?
Is that you singing?
Are you singing? Well, and because somebody was up really, really late doing his podcast last night and then got home and couldn't sleep.
Right.
So he's on about 3.5 hours of sleep. So for a change, I'm the guy that's all
Bright-eyed
and happy,
and
you're
here.
The miserable prick.
Seriously. I would say, I walked by the control room, and I saw somebody talking, and I was like, damn, who is that talking? And as I went by, I went, wait, I think that was Florio. I think I just heard his voice. Then I got in here, got organized. I always get stuff a little organized, then go use the restroom because we sit here in the chair for 2 hours. And I hear somebody singing down the hallway. And, you know, it's and I'm like, what? And I am tired. There's no doubt about it. Also, I also am like one
you
of those.
You don't look tired.
Thank you. I'm also one of those morning, like, kind of just let's be quiet for a little while until we have to. Right. So I wasn't used to being like in a conversation and having somebody singing in my face, and especially not in this morning. But nonetheless, happy to be
here.
With you.
We are here.
We're here.
And by the way,
yeah,
and this is completely irrelevant to football, but we'll get to football soon enough. I got driven over here by Vincenzo.
Oh, yeah.
Who drove you.
Oh, he drove me.
He really likes you. And he was going on and on. Oh, he's got such a nice place. He's such a nice man. He's a like you. He's a nice man. It's like,
yeah, Vincenzo's my guy. Yeah.
I'm just in a good mood today, Vincenzo. Usually I'm miserable.
See what a good
too.
Tip does right there?
He's such a nice man.
People always are a little like amazed when they pull up to my house and it's a farmhouse and they see a barn and they're like, what is this? I guess they don't expect an ex NFL football player or guy that works on TV to live in a house like that. So I feel like that always gets me a few points from, you know, some of these drivers there. But yeah, Vincenzo was my guy. I've had him a few times lately. And he talks in Italian just like
you. Oh, he's great. Oh, he's great.
Do you like it to Kirk Cousins or no?
I should have asked him, do you like it to Kirk Cousins? I don't like it to Kirk Cousins. We'll talk about the Kirk Cousins. Maybe.
So we're definitely talking about it. It's coming up somewhere.
Well, we got to start with, even though it's usually the kind of Sunday night game that I would say, why are we talking about that? But what happened to the Giants last? And this isn't – I'm not trying to stick.
No, no, you're not.
I picked the Giants to win the damn game.
Yeah, I know you did. I know.
The Cowboys won 40-0. And at a time when the NFL prides itself on so many close games and it sends out the email every week boasting at how many close games there were and lead changes, that's what they like because it keeps people engaged as long as possible. I mean, last night it's 33-0 in the third quarter. It's like, why is anybody even watching this?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? What are the numbers going to be for last night? I expected a mammoth rating and it's going to peak at, you know, 8:30 and then go straight downhill. But look, biggest shutout win for the Cowboys in franchise history, and DeMarcus Lawrence is saying, I'll put the league on notice. This is a prime example of a dynamic that we see in football from time to time, where a couple of weird things that happen early.
Yeah.
Play here, play there.
Right.
And the avalanche is on, and there's nothing the other team can do about it. It's too late to avoid it. You got to keep it within 17. Otherwise, it does get out of hand.
Yep.
They start teeing off with the pass rush.
Exactly right.
You've taken the run game out. Yeah.
Down.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I got to make something happen now.
And you just get to the point where you accept collectively, it ain't our night. And so I don't want to take away from what the Cowboys did because they made the plays early when it felt like the Giants were at first drive.
Yeah, it looked kind of good.
Right down the
okay,
field.
The Giants look like they're like they did last year.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go. Even better. Right. Daniel Jones stepping up. Year two. Brian Daboll. Saquon. Oh, hey, a contract issue. No problem for him.
Yeah, right.
And then that sack on third down.
Yeah, bad snap.
It's a bad snap.
Right.
Ball's back there. That's right.
Right.
And then, okay, long field goal, blocked return for a touchdown. It's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
There it goes.
Right.
And then seven becomes, then it well, was a, six. It no, was six.
Yep. Then it was a long field goal drive by the Cowboys, right?
Yep.
And then the next drive was the Saquon Barkley pick six, right? But
no, Igbinoghene doing more for the Cowboys than I think he ever did with the Miami Dolphins. He was first round pick in 2020, but he scoops up the ball on the run and
totally
bounds and off he goes.
Yeah.
Hell of a play.
Unblocked to start the football game on your first field goal attempt of the season. So Dallas and John Fossil, who we know is one of the best special team coordinators in all of football. Yeah, he obviously found something, a little issue with their field goal protection there. But shocking, definitely shocking. Listen, I think you and I both knew the Dallas Cowboys were the better football team. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys have one of the best rosters in football. I did an exercise on my podcast 2 weeks ago. They were in my top five rosters in football. But I thought, yeah, week one, Giants at home. Giants have been, you know, the stepchild of the Dallas Cowboys lately. You know, the way Brian Daboll called games, hey, their second meeting last year, the Giants certainly hung around for a little bit. There were some positives there. I thought maybe we'd catch them off guard to a degree and just keep it close, like you were kind of saying. Keep it close, keep it 7-4, whatever else. But, the walls caved in. And then Dallas, I think where it was disappointing is not only, like, you know, missed X's and O's there, but Dallas just overran our offensive line. And I'm saying R because I'm a big Giant fan. But this is an amazing play. I mean, Michael Parsons is the first guy you want to talk about in Dallas. He was everywhere, and three rockets were up his ass off the ball all game long. But then Trayvon Diggs making that hit to cause the ball to pop in the air. They get the pick six, Deron Bland. And I don't know, Mike, how you feel, but Dallas was certainly one of those teams that I'd go, they looked like on another level than the rest of the other team they played, just like the 49ers did. We'll get to that later. But certainly one of those teams where I go, ooh, they're in the running for the best-looking team week one in the NFL.
And, you know, here's the reality, especially in the NFC, we don't know what to make of these teams. We don't know what we're going to get. And we talk about it for months.
Yeah.
We think we know.
Yeah.
And then you pull the sheet off for the new season, and
I think we know.
You don't know how bad or good you are because you don't know how bad or good your opponent was, and it may just be circumstance.
That's right.
You get up early and it changes everything. And I think there's so much anticipation for that first game. I think it may be harder to come back from a big deficit week one than it is in other weeks because I feel like the air comes out of the balloon faster for that first. It's psychological.
Oh, yeah. You're like, wait, we've been preparing for this for a month. How could this be happening? We've been so excited for this, let alone you haven't played that much football, right? I mean, their starters didn't play a ton. So you're not in the, wait, you know, I'm doing everything perfect and seeing the field perfect mode, and we know how to run the two-minute offense like it's week 10 and we're just a high-functioning machine. No, I think you're exactly right in that. I do think we know one thing about the NFC. We've been on this since last year. There's three teams we know that are good, for sure. And that's the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. We said Seahawks maybe would get in the thing. We'll talk about them later. But those three right there, I don't think we're going to be wrong all year as long as if we keep saying they're the cream of the crop. We know what they are. Now, who else is going to jump on the scene? But they certainly look to stand above the rest yesterday, at least the 49ers and the Cowboys in a big way.
In my mind, Chris, I had it as Eagles, 49ers, and then that next cut, Cowboys, Giants, Seahawks, and we'll see how they all separate. And on the first week, two of them cross paths and one just blows the other one off the field. The biggest margin, biggest shutout between the two teams since 1995 when the Cowboys won 35-0. Cowboys are the fifth team in NFL history to open the season with a shutout win of 40 or more points on the road. The last time happened in 1999 when the Steelers went to play the Browns, who were an expansion team
In 99,
I remember
that.
Beat the hell out of them. And I always say week one, forget about what happens.
Yeah.
It's meaningless. There's 16 games left now.
Right.
The only thing that worries me is when you're playing a division rival at home and you lose to them, you still have to go there.
Yeah, sure.
And if they just be, especially
it makes
if they
it a little
kick
harder.
The crap out of
no
you.
No doubt. Now
and
doubts
you
got
to go
mind.
To Dallas at some point
yeah.
and you get swept, it becomes much harder to win the division, although that doesn't really apply to the Giants because the Eagles or the Cowboys. Who knows? But whenever the Eagles and Cowboys play this year, that becomes a bigger deal because the Cowboys look like they're ready based on last night. But again, it's just those moments early on. They stepped up and made the plays,
yeah.
But that makes it 6-0, 9-0, 16-0, 19-0. 26-0. I mean, and if the Giants can't answer, and they were trying to answer, but the hole gets deeper and deeper, and at some point it's just like, screw it, let's get out of here. It's raining. It's miserable. Let's just get the hell out of here and regroup.
They were outclassed last night. I mean, Dallas, just like the 49er game, when you're watching it, it was like, wait, are they in fast forward and the Giants are in slow motion? They looked phenomenal on the field. And they got some stars on both sides
of
the ball.
How does that happen, though? How does one team show up?
Yeah.
And look like they're stuck in mud, and the other team, everyone's got a rocket up their ass or more.
Well, Dallas, this to the point here where I think you're a little underestimating Dallas. Dallas has got some real, real stars and studs on the team throughout. I mean, their O-line is certainly one of the best in football, right? Pollard looked good. I mean, he's looked good. I couldn't go over
how – broken ankle last time.
Exactly.
We saw
him. I was shocked by that. Of course, CeeDee Lamb. Dak Prescott, I know, is going to, you know, be back on his A game. You know, Micah Parsons, you know, Diggs, those are big-time playmakers, let alone to go with along with, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence on the edge and some other guys in the inside there that are good. Their secondary has got a lot of good cover corners. Safety's a position they've questioned. But also on to that, and I think one of the things we've seen with Dallas, and maybe we've even made fun of them before, they are a momentum team. Like, when they're good, like they did to your Minnesota Vikings last year, once they get rolling, they're like, oh, and they love being the bullies and then just smashing your face in the, you know, into the playground floor there a little bit. You know, when Dallas seems to have a problem is when somebody kind of stands up to them and they're like, whoa, wait, you're as physically gifted as we are, and whoa, you're as tough and crazy as we are? Oh, no. And that's what we've seen with the 49ers games, where they haven't been able to quite match that, or the other bully in the ballpark. Other thing I want to say, too, I'm pretty sure my dad is bad luck for the Giants when they play the Cowboys at nighttime, all right? Because the 1995 game you refer to is my dad's jersey retirement game.
Flock of Seagulls
night? Flock of Seagulls, me, come over, freshman year of high school. So dad's been to two Giant Cowboy opener games, and they've lost by a combined score of 75-0. So I think we need to keep Big Phil out of the freaking stadium when the Cowboys come into town.
So that was the one in 95, 35-0.
Yeah, Emma Smith waving as he was going down the middle of the field for a touchdown.
I thought of the Flock of Seagulls night yesterday, too, when Tom Brady was getting honored at halftime.
Sure.
Because his son Jack was messing with his hair, and I'm thinking, who's he sending a message to messing with his hair? Because wasn't that what it was? There was some signal you gave.
I was trying to rub my ear.
That was your signal.
It was
to your
my
teammates.
Ear to some of the because I was a freshman starting on varsity, and a few of the varsity players were like, "You better give us a signal, or we're gonna make tomorrow miserable for you." So
I didn't give him the finger.
Well, I didn't want to ruin Dad's retirement ceremony, but either way, the Cowboys
all
ruined
I
it.
Do is scratch.
I know. You are the king of the scratch. The Cowboys ruined the retirement party, and then the Cowboys ruined last night, which, you know, the Giant fans were excited. We feel like in this area that we're back, like we're at least relevant again. Daniel Jones, like you said, Saquon, everything. But that was a disappointing performance, and I'm disappointed in the O-line. The O-line is something I thought would give us a little bit better of a fighting chance, and, I mean, as you saw, it was like we hadn't seen Micah Parsons in person before. Micah Parsons was the most impressive defensive player in the NFL that I saw yesterday. And there were some other good ones that we'll talk about in a little while. But, man, I just could not get over his first step off the ball, his power, his energy, just everything. He really, really stood out.
He was already a great player. You throw on top of it, he busts his ass.
He busts his ass. That's right.
Completely. And this is the year that he's putting the hay in the barn to surpass what Nick Bosa got last week.
Right,
it's just
right.
a matter of time before he's knocking on Jerry Jones' door saying, I want mine. And they're not going to be able to say, well, you know, Micah, you kind of tailed off a little bit this year. He's bringing it.
I think you're going to see prime Micah
but
here.
See, that's the thing. Maybe the Giants' offensive line is going to be great for the rest of the year because they only see Micah one other time. They're not going to be dealing with Micah on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll be ready to block other guys. It's just that Micah is front and center above the rest. Here's Mike McCarthy.
Test.
Let's have a listen to the Cowboys head coach. McCarthy, for his first time winning week one as the Cowboys coach, talking about the team's pass rush, which overwhelmed the Giants on Sunday night.
Well, I think, I mean, that's who we are. I clearly feel, we've taken another step. You could see that in training camp. But I would say, you look at the way teams are going to try to play us. You look at their first series. I mean, they're going to try to pound the ball and challenge our run defense, over and over again, try to, soften up the pass rush. But the pass rush was relentless tonight. We gave up contain a couple times early, but, after that, I clearly was in total control of the game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They controlled the game, and it just went downhill quickly, and there was nothing the Giants could do about it. And I was amazed that Jones was in
as late as he was, right?
It's pouring down rain. Right. They got Dak Prescott out of there, got Cooper Rush some reps. But there's a point where you gotta throw the towel and you just gotta get the hell out of there because you got a long season to still play and you don't want to just be stubborn and try. We don't want to be shut out, so we're gonna keep our quarterback in. We're gonna put him in harm's way when he doesn't really need to be, just because 40-7 is gonna look better in the newspaper than 40-0.
It's tough. I mean, I'm with you too. I looked over there as I was doing my podcast going, damn, he's still in the game. I can't believe this, right? Because I had it on as I was doing it. But at the same time, knowing coaches, they're going, we need the work, obviously. We got to get some reps here. We're not as good as that maybe, or where I thought we were. And then added into that, you don't want to pull them too early. You're getting your butts kicked. We're not playing our best. So you'd like something positive to happen. And then you're also going, wait, I got to get these guys in shape for the next 2 weeks we got here. Because they got, at Arizona Cardinals and then to San Francisco, right? So they got two games here in the next 10, 11 days. So I think that's the other aspect of it, too, as I started to unpack it. Because I was like, just like you were. I was going, man, I can't believe he's out there. The hits he was taking. I mean, Chris Collins were said it on the telecast. We got to a point in the game where it felt like Daniel Jones from, three seasons ago. He got the ball and it was literally like, just run. Get out of there. There's somebody in your face. You got no chance. Don't look down the field. Dallas has got so many athletic guys up front. And like McCarthy talked on that little, presser there, people try to run the ball on them because they're not big and they're really fast, but they just go, screw it. We're going to overwhelm you with numbers and movement. And then they got these damn good corners on the back end to go, yeah, we can load the box and we can play man-to-man. And Dan Quinn does some creative things on that side of the ball. I continue to give him credit for evolving past the Seattle scheme when he left there. But, yeah, Dallas looked damn good, Mike. They're scary.
One of the best things that happened for the Cowboys this offseason, Dan Quinn didn't get a
job.
Offer to go be a head coach somewhere else, ultimately removed his name from consideration, which usually is a sign that he isn't
getting
the job.
The offer, right?
And he stays in Dallas, and some people think that he'll be the guy to take over for Mike McCarthy at some point, but we'll see. But Quinn there, and the defense showing it. Stephon Gilmore now on the team. So they have kind of just quietly upgraded, and they were already pretty damn good. And now we see that they're ready.
They're ready.
We'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah.
Hey, you win week one. All it means is that your worst possible record is 1-16. You lose week one. All it means is your best possible record is 16-1. And we saw the Carolina Panthers in 2001 win week one in Minnesota and lose every game. It was Steve Smith's first game. He returned a kickoff for a touchdown to start that game. It's like, who's that kid? 89. Who's that?
Right.
Third round pick. Off he goes for a touchdown. But they lost every game after that with Chris Winkie at quarterback. So don't open a champagne bottle.
But that ain't happening to this
team. Don't smash anything either way. It's just 1 week. But yeah, I think the Cowboys are going to be.
Yeah, they're going to be here all year.
And the other thing, too, by the time I got back to the hotel and turned on the game, it was, clearly into garbage time. Daniel Jones is still playing. It was raining so hard that it, changed the material of, those new age Nike jerseys.
Right.
They never look wet. This thing looked like it was absolutely soaked.
It was a monsoon here.
Miserable. Yeah. Miserable. Yeah. It's a good thing that didn't happen the night of your flock of seagulls. It would have ruined
my haircut.
Look, dude, I think we may even have the proof.
Great. Oh, there it is. That's what I needed. That's what I needed. Look at that. There I am with the biggest comb over you've ever seen. My mom in the middle.
What? Why would you have a comb over when you got a full head of hair?
I guess my head sides were shaved. And I think it was one of those things where, my parents were like, you better comb your hair for this event, because I don't think I usually would comb it. So it was like, I don't know what else to do. Let me just comb it over here. And there's Dirty Diana, my mom, in the pink in the background, my sister Deirdre in the foreground, and then
my Grandma Sims.
Grandma Barbara Sims.
Grandma Sims.
Don't mess with
like
Grandma
she,
Barbara
yeah,
Sims. I told
looks
you.
Looks like she kept Phil in line.
Yeah,
like he runs in the house with a dead
line.
Squirrel. That, and
exactly.
Phil and the squirrel both go out the house right
snapping
away.
Snapping chickens' heads off with her bare hands. That's what Barbara Sims is famous for right there.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, let's get to the team, the Giants. We'll see. I said, hey, they're only going to see Michael Parsons once more this year. They also are going to see Nick Bosa, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
And the Steelers got full dose of Nick Bosa and the rest of the San Francisco 49ers. This is the one that stunned me. And here's what...
I'm with you here.
What surprised me more than anything else. Yeah. And I don't know why this is happening. Now, I remember the old days when if you had tickets to a game, you know, they would send you the nice little collection of season tickets in an envelope. And if you wanted to sell them, you either had to find somebody at work or somebody in your neighborhood or somebody you knew. Or, worst case scenario, you show up at the game and there's the guy with the little cardboard "I need tickets" sign.
Right, right.
And
I need.
And
two.
I remember the first time I saw the guy holding the sign that said "I need tickets." It's like, man, he really wants to go to the game. He came with the sign. He really wants to get
in. He's a big fan.
Yeah. But now, if you want to make a little scratch, if you want to, you know, put a little money back in the pot, if you want to maybe pay for half of what the season tickets cost,
right.
You sell.
Yeah.
And somebody buys.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there goes the home field advantage.
It's pretty easy.
We saw it on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I was stunned by the number of Lions fans.
I'm with you. I saw you wrote about it. I was with you. I'm shocked.
And then, when I flew to Dallas on Friday to take the connecting flight to Pittsburgh, it's like...
You couldn't get over the 49er fans in the airport.
49ers fans? There's 49ers fans everywhere.
Right.
And one of the guys, he had some... big thing like rolled up, stuck in his backpack, this big like some banner. And it's like, well, he's got his banner, he's taking to the game. I get off the plane in Pittsburgh. He hustled off before everybody. He opens that thing up. It's this big 49ers banner. And he's out there saying, we're taking over this town.
Oh,
we're here to take over this
damn
town.
And those thinking, are them a fighting
I'm
words.
Thinking, this is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You better be careful because I know how the 49ers fans treat visiting fans, and it can get a little ugly and it can get a little dangerous.
Right.
You're walking into the Lions' den if you're going to do that. Nope. They went in, and I was getting texts from people at home watching the game because that's the game that they show locally where I live. And they're like, it's all red.
Yeah.
They show the stands, and it's all red. They took that place over. And I talked to Fred Warner after the game. They noticed it.
Yeah.
How does that not give you a lift?
It
when
does.
You're supposed to be walking into Pittsburgh where, you know, all the great stories about the Steelers fans of the past. You walk in, and it's like, hell, we took the place over.
Yeah.
It lights that fuse.
It definitely does. For a team that we know has a fuse that's lit already, right? But and extremely talented. I think it's, you know, a credit to what Shanahan's built out there. There's excitement around that team. It's a Super Bowl appearance. It's 3 out of 4 NFC championship games. It's the Brock Purdy love affair. It is a team that's got incredible tradition, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think they look at it like they're on the cusp of doing something great again in San Francisco. Let alone, hey, it's San Francisco and Silicon Valley where that stadium is. And there's some really rich people there. To where, yeah, it's like they make up their mind. I feel like they're like, hey, we want to go to the game. They're going to be willing to pay anything. Oh, what? The Pittsburgh guy wants, you know, $4,000 a ticket. I already booked the flight, so I might as well just pay it. I feel like that's where the big money cities kind of have a little bit of an advantage in that department because there's some high rollers that are just like, oh, so what? this might be this to, you know, some working class guy in Pittsburgh, but I'm going to just throw cash at it and we'll get the seats to the game.
Look, I don't know how this works nuts and bolts
because I don't do it.
But yeah. I can imagine that you make your seats available and you name the price. And if somebody buys them, you sell them for that price.
That's how it goes.
So, you know what? I'll go to the game. Unless somebody's going to offer me $5,000 a ticket,
right.
I'm going to name my price. And if I get it, I'll watch it home.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll just stay home.
Right.
And then I'll pay for half the season tickets. Or, you know, look, times are tough now, too. I mean,
yeah, not everybody's
these games are expensive.
Yeah.
And if you have a way that you can sacrifice going to one game because it is a fan base that is rabid, that is traveling – and it's got people who have the money where they don't care. They just want in, and they'll pay it. And it allows you to pay a bill or two. It allows you to get through a month where there's a lot of people living month to month. There's a lot of people struggling, and those people have season tickets. And this helps us. So it doesn't help the home team, though.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't help the home team. And because I see a lot of people saying these people should be ashamed of themselves for doing it. It's like, well, no. I mean, it's kind of smart to do it.
Yeah.
If
because it stinks on a competitive sports level.
It doesn't help your
life
home
issue.
Team. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this is the way it is. You want to fill those stadiums up with local fans, and the local fans could use the boost that comes from trading those tickets in, then you're going to see that happen from
and
time to time.
They'll be happy they pocketed the money after that game. They're going to go, good thing I wasn't there for that
That's
crap
right.
show.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, it was a great move.
Great job by me. Right.
Oh, yeah. A hell of an investment. Yeah. I could have gone out there for 3 hours and been miserable.
Yeah.
Instead, I got $5,000 for my tickets. You know, the other thing, too, it made me think of seeing all those Lions fans in Kansas City and seeing all those 49ers fans going to Pittsburgh. That late season flex that I hate, NFL. I hate that Thursday night flex.
Yeah.
I hate that Monday night flex.
Right.
Because people are going to have travel plans made and they're going to get disrupted potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just not going to make plans for those games late in the season. But regardless, when you get an appreciation of just how many people are willing, I saw Steelers fans flying in from other parts too.
Sure.
I mean, people will move all around the country to go witness these games. It is an amazing dynamic, and it's going to be dramatically complicated late in the year. Just made me think of that because there was the big fight. The league tried to push it through, and owners, some didn't want to do it, and they eventually got their arms twisted.
Yeah.
That's something to keep an eye on because we got a stark reminder twice this weekend. Lions and 49ers, there are fans out there that are willing to spend the money, they're willing to make those trips, and they're the ones that are going to get screwed by, all of a sudden the game goes from Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. That's going to be tough. I'll be interested to see how that goes too. But, you know, to your point, it's the Steelers, it's the Chiefs, it's great home field advantage, and they did not have as good a one as they needed. And then,
so what happened? What did the 49ers do to just overwhelm the Steelers? Worst home loss Mike Tomlin's ever had.
I think, you know, one, it was another, that was the original game. I mean, you heard me in the control room. I would have literally yelled out. I was like, the 49ers look like they're in fast forward. I don't know. I mean, from the get-go, it was like the Steelers, who looked really good through the preseason, they hadn't seen a team or a defense like this, but it's like they got punched in the mouth and they were shocked. It was 3-and-out right on the first drive. The Niners got the ball with a short field. Shanahan went for it on a 4th-and-1 to kind of keep the drive going. That jump-started the team, 7-0. And then the defense was just suffocating. I mean, it was either they were all over Kenny Pickett. When we saw replays of things downfield, I never saw people open or separating. Turnovers happen. You know, Brock Purdy plays flawless. And then they smash your face in the running game with Christian McCaffrey. And you just go, ooh, I mean, where's the weakness of the 49ers? The 49ers, as we know, are one of the best teams in football. I mean, we shouldn't be shocked they won. I'm certainly shocked they won in Pittsburgh 30-7. I never thought that would happen. And Pittsburgh, you know, again, like we said, there was a lot of people, me at the front and center, excited about what the Steelers looked like in the preseason. And they're another team that prides themselves on being the bullies. But they were bullied in this one, and the 49ers looked like they were in a different class than Pittsburgh on the field Sunday.
I talked to Fred Warner about the hit that he applied early to Steelers running back Najee Harris.
Just filling the hole. Tone setter.
And that's what he said. Yeah. Tone setter, and
look at
here
this.
It is. Just swallowed up and down. And that, look, between that, Oh my gosh, just flattened him. I mean, that's an NFL running back. And
like a huge NFL running back.
Yeah.
Like Najee Harris is one of those guys that in the general public, I don't think you realize how big he is. If you saw him in person, you'd go, oh my gosh, he's 6'3", 6'2 and a half, right? Square shoulders. But can we show that a play again? Because this is something you and I talk about a lot, right? The 49ers, like, no hesitation. What? Run through the wall.
Yep.
Right?
Roll out of bed and kick your ass.
Look at this play. There's a hole there. He just goes, there's a hole there. All my other guys are in a gap. I'm going to run through it because there's the hole. The running back's going to be running through there too. And I'm just going to meet him there before he gets ahead of steam into the hole and can maybe push me back. They're so aggressive. They're so downhill, right? I'm sure they have a few new wrinkles on their defense now because of Steve Wilks being the new defensive coordinator. I think that probably surprised Pittsburgh with a few things too. There was a lot of positives. And then Brock Purdy, the way he looked on that side of the ball was really awesome.
Between that hit
and
the fact that the 49ers got up early, the run game went bye-bye.
Right.
And you can't – look, as much as we think Kenny Pickett could be great and get the ball to George Pickens and Deontay Johnson, who suffered a hamstring injury at some point in the game and didn't return.
Yeah.
But you still need balance. You can't just go
out
and
just
throw,
throw,
throw, throw. Against
the 49ers,
right. Yeah, especially with Nick Bosa back,
exactly.
The lift they got from that, just the planets lined up perfectly for the San Francisco 49ers to go out there. Now we know why Kyle was smiling.
He's so happy. He's like, I got Nick Bosa, the team's complete, and we got a locker room full of ass kickers.
And you know, this is the first report card you get as an NFL team after all the work you've put in, all the study you've put in. You know, your first exam is week one. And you have all your plans, and you had your books out, and you made your notes, and you find out if it works.
Yeah.
And they found out that what they have is going to work.
Yeah.
You go to Pittsburgh and you win like that week one, and it wasn't fluky. I don't want to say the Cowboys thing was fluky, but it started to roll downhill with the block field.
Some turnovers and mistakes by the Giants.
The Giants went down the field. The Steelers didn't get anything going until the end of the half where all of a sudden the offense woke up. I mean, the 49ers suffocated the Steelers, and it just feels like that's going to happen a lot this year from whoever ends up, unfortunately, in the position where they're playing the 49ers.
Yeah, they're stacked. I mean, we saw Brandon Ayuk look phenomenal. Debo Samuel look good. Kittle at least was able to play. I don't think he's 100% healthy. And I think what's scary with the Niners here, because I know this just from years of Shanahan past, he hates first games. Because his magic is, wait, I get to see a few games on film, and I got a feel for what you're doing, and now I can screw you over with you think we're going to do this, but we're going to do that. So first games are a little bit more of just like, hey, we're just going to see what we are. We're going to see how good we are and what we do, and can we just execute what we've been practicing, because I can't be overly creative because I don't know what to quite expect from them on that side of the ball. And, you know, I just think they, like you're saying here, they just lined up and said, we're better than you, we're coming at you, and they were just clearly the better team in fast forward all game long. Purdy, to play like that, after an elbow injury, he's still a young kid.
6 months to the day after surgery.
Right? I mean, just like didn't miss a beat. It's like he's just so natural at the position with reading defenses, feeling the pass rush. He's a very good athlete that we don't give him credit for, whether it's like plays like this, you know, just moving in the pocket, boom, there's a 20-yard completion.
The way he snapped it, too.
I know, yeah. I know. So he's got really in control, and you can really see he's very natural and comfortable at the quarterback position, and Shanahan's got him rolling.
And he had a run near the end of the game, and he came up, and he had just that million-dollar smile.
Right.
And
he's a kid having fun.
And Kyle has his Kirk Cousins. That's how someone explained it to me not that long ago. There's been this fascination to get Shanahan and Cousins together again. I texted you over the weekend because there's a long story in The Athletic about Kirk Cousins kind of buried in there. Is Mike Shanahan on the record saying that Kyle wanted to trade the second overall pick in the 2017 draft to Washington for Kirk Cousins, and Washington just wouldn't do it. It was that weird Bruce Allen, we hate the Shanahans and the Shanahans.
No
and us,
doubt.
We don't
want
to make it any easier.
They
didn't want
Snyder's,
they could have
the
taken
Snyder
the second
family,
overall pick.
Liked
they
right.
could have had the second overall pick for a guy that was going to be on the team one more year anyway. How
bite your
dumb.
Nose to spite your
hey,
face.
Commanders fan, be happy that Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen are gone, because how freaking
they didn't want to pay Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
They knew he was in the future.
But you
they
don't
didn't
want to
give
the
him up because they didn't want
pick.
The other team to have what they wanted.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
When he was walking out the door in a year anyway.
Yeah.
And because somebody emailed me and said, yo, man, I can't believe it. We could have had Patrick Mahomes, like some Commanders fan. I said, they would have drafted Trubisky. They would have screwed it up, right? They would have screwed it up.
Probably.
They wouldn't have known because nobody knew about Mahomes.
Yeah.
Trubisky was taken. second overall when the Bears traded up.
That's right.
So they would have screwed it up. Don't fret, Commanders fans. You wouldn't have Patrick Mahomes. And if you did, he probably wouldn't be nearly as good
but
as
they
he
do
is
have
now.
Their Kirk Cousins. You're right about that. And that's why, again, going back to the draft with Trey Lance, I always thought it would be Mac Jones because he was Kirk Cousins-like. And I know that's what Shanahan likes. And he's got a guy right now that, man, he sees the field. He reacts appropriate. He's really just really impressive for a young quarterback. And that 49er team, of course, looked awesome.
And the thing about that offense, okay, you get Christian McCaffrey with 152 rushing yards and a touchdown. Brandon Ayuk, 129 receiving yards and two touchdowns. Deebo Samuel. I mean, that's the thing. Oh, we better take away Ayuk. Well, Deebo Samuel's going to kill you.
Exactly.
George Kittle, when he's 100%, is
going
to kill you.
Oh, here comes McCaffrey.
So you got four guys.
Yeah,
four guys that can kill you, and Brock Purdy, the straw that stirs that drink. It's amazing. Here's Nick Bosa from yesterday talking about the 49ers offense. So much talk about the defense with Bosa. Here he is on the offense.
We just have so many players, and it's fun to watch Ayuk do his thing, and Purdy shut some haters up. So it's nice to be on a really good team.
It's even nicer to get $34 million a year.
What were the haters on Purdy, though?
That's all that bullshit. That's that. Nobody believes in this. Everybody, that's the haters. There were no haters in Brock Purdy.
No.
The only question was, is he going to be healthy after he had the surgery on his elbow?
Yeah.
Is he healthy?
Right.
He's healthy.
Right.
There's no doubt that he was going to be good.
Right.
He proved enough.
I know.
When you start and finish 6-7 games last year and the team wins them, and you know, and the team doesn't need Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow when he's playing really well, not like yesterday. We'll talk about that coming up too. But there were no Brock Purdy haters. There was no doubt that the 49ers are going to be great. I mean, I put them number two in the power rankings. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and I had all these Eagles fans pissed off at me. Who looked better yesterday, Eagles fans? Be objective. Be fair. Who looked better? Who are you worried about? I'm probably worried about the Cowboys a little bit, but more worried about the 49ers after yesterday.
Yeah.
I'd be more worried about the 49ers than the Cowboys if I was the Eagles right now.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd be worried about both of them.
Yeah, no doubt. I think those are the two teams they probably look at to go, ooh, if we don't play our best ball, those two teams can beat us. There's no doubt about that. Cowboys, of course, because they're in the division, are going to be a focus. But, hey, they know. And then the 49ers have let everybody know that they think they're better than them. You know, ever since the NFC Championship, how many guys on that team have gone, if Brock Purdy played, we were going to beat them, right? We've had four
Eagles fans
guys
get mad
that.
When you say that, but it's the truth.
Well, it certainly would have been really close. It would have that. But yeah, the 49ers, they got it all in all aspects of the game. And then, you know, you just couple that with Shanahan creative on that side of the ball. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg with Steve Wilks on the defensive side of the ball. You're going to see the defense, I think, be more creative as we go as well, which is exciting for the 49er fans out there.
The vibe from the 49ers for me is, you know, they've been close so many times the last few years.
Yeah.
I think the way you deal with that, you know, we get close and something happens. We get close and something happens. You know what? We're just going to kick the hell out of everybody.
Let's just go win.
We're not going to have
everybody up.
We're not going to have
right.
close.
Right.
We're not going to have fluke. We're going to kick your ass like the old school 49ers did, where by the time it gets to the fourth quarter, there's nothing you can do about it to steal it from us. We're not going to let you steal it from us. We're taking it from you early, and we're not going to let up. Here's Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, talking about his team's unexpectedly bad performance in week one.
Man, you can't start games, I think, 0-5 on third down and think that you're going to have the type of day that you desire. You got to win the weighty downs. And it's just more than just a kind of identifying that component, man. It was a failure on our part in all areas. You know, we got to coach better. We got to play better. We got kicked in the teeth today in a lot of ways.
Yeah, look, they did. And I'm sure Mike Tomlin let them hear it at halftime, let them hear it after the game. At least halftime, it was encouraging. It was 20-7. They scored a touchdown late.
But then two plays later.
That's that. That's that.
Yeah.
End of the second half. That's that. Boom. It's over. 27-7.
Two plays later, right? It was the third quarter. I think it was the second play of the third quarter is when McCaffrey broke the 55-yard run.
Because they went in. They went into halftime 20-7. And like, we're alive. Right. We got a chance. You know, hey, 21-20 before
Yeah.
And then there goes Christian McCaffrey. And that
was
27-7. And that's it.
Yeah.
You could feel that was it. Kenny Pickett was 31 for 46. You don't want Kenny Pickett throwing 46 passes.
No, that's not what they want to do.
232 yards on 46 passes, one touchdown, two interceptions. and they either punted or turned the ball over on each of their first five possessions. You cannot start like that against a team like the 49ers. You've got to, if, because you're not going to keep them from scoring. You got to find a way to get something going, or it is going to be over before it even begins.
Yeah, I mean, never settled into the game. Look at this here. Nobody open. You know, again, the 49ers, it's like they were in the playbook right there. They literally got seven guys where the three receivers are. So that was one thing that I saw throughout the football game. I mean, this is a, you know, they're desperate. He's trying to make something happen, and this is just Fred Warner being the best middle linebacker in football, you know, to go along with a great run stopper. He's awesome in the pass game. But, yeah, Pickett had people around him. There was no run game. You know, then, like you said, Deontay Johnson gets hurt, right? And the other thing I worry about a little bit, and you might have heard me say this yesterday with Pickens, right? Because I like Pickens. I mean, of course, he's phenomenal. But the one thing I noticed just watching the preseason and seeing it yesterday, he's not always a separate – he doesn't separate all the time. 50-50 balls or 90-10. He's unbelievable at that stuff. But the one thing I worry about that, especially now with Deontay Johnson maybe being out because it looked like he pulled his hamstring, is just that, yeah, do they have some other guys here, you know, other than Pickett, who's going to be solely focused on by defenses now, that can kind of help that pass game out? Does Freiermuth, does he jump back into the equation more? You know, does Calvin Austin as a little slot receiver? But they certainly are going to have to find something. And, yeah, Mike Tomlin's got to be a little shocked with that outing right there, especially with the way his team, how physical they were in preseason, to look like that on Sunday has got to be disappointing to
him. It hurts even more, I think, when you believed and allowed yourself to believe and the fans believed and I believed that the Steelers had some tricks up their sleeve, that they've been overlooked in the AFC, that they still have that tradition of winning, and they're going to have something ready for the 49ers. To have it blow up on them that way. I remember we talked earlier about 1999 when the Steelers went to Cleveland and blew them off the field when they were basically an expansion team. I remember 1989 when the Browns went to Pittsburgh and won 51-0. It had that kind of a feel to it yesterday where you just didn't expect it. Now, it's different this time because, number one, they weren't shut out. Number two, the 49ers are a Super Bowl team potentially, but the Steelers got some work to do.
Yeah.
And they don't have an easy road.
We know the Steelers.
They don't have an easy road.
They'll buck up. You know, buck up, Bart.
Next Monday night, the Browns come to town.
Ooh,
what a game that is! That's
a game where, you know, they win that game, they can start feeling good about themselves. Disappointing showing, but the one thing I know about Pittsburgh Steelers teams coached by Mike Tomlin, they ain't gonna give up. You know, there's gonna be no sugarcoating of anything, and he's gonna throw their problems right back in their face, and they're gonna deal with it head on and try to fix it and come out as a better team the next week. And that's what I would expect to see next week from Pittsburgh.
Let me just do this: 1 week away from the Week 2 Monday night game in Pittsburgh between the Browns and the Steelers, let me just give a general word of advice to anyone on the team, coaching staff, front office. Do not say
anything.
The Browns is the Browns.
Right.
Do not say Cleveland is Cleveland. Don't disparage any elves. Don't say anything.
Right.
Say nothing about the Browns. Just save it all for the game, because they will take it, they will process it, and they will kick your ass, because we saw it happen to the Bengals yesterday. We're going to take a break and talk about what the Browns did to Cincinnati when this Monday edition of PFT Live continues right after this.